Zok, the mission is that three times a year the olives are harvested, and each harvest produces three different grades of oil. During the first harvest, one picks the olives at the top of the tree. He then crushes them and puts them in the basket, where the oil that oozes from them gets filtered through the basket into a keli. Rabbi Yehuda says he puts the olives around the basket. The oil that comes from this stage is the first oil. He then presses the olives with a beam. Rabbi Yehuda says it's done with stones. This is the second oil. He then crushes the olives again and presses them with a beam again. This is the third oil. The first oil is kosher for menorah. The other oils are kosher for menachas. During the second harvest, one picks the olives at the height of the rooftops. He then crushes them and puts them in a basket where the oil oozes from them gets filtered through the basket into a keli. Rabbi Yehuda said he puts the olives around the basket. The oil that comes from this stage is the first oil. He then presses the olives with a beam. Rabbi Yehuda says it's done with stones. This is the second oil. He then crushes the olives again and presses them with a beam again. This is the third oil. The first oil is kosher for menorah. The other oils are kosher for menachas. During the third harvest, he packs the olives into the vat until they become spoiled, and he then takes them to be dried on the roof. He then crushes them and puts them in the basket where the oil that oozes from them gets filtered through the basket into a keli. Yehuda said he puts the olives around the basket. The oil that comes from this stage is the first oil. He then presses them with a beam. Rabbi Yehuda says it's done with stones. That's the second oil. He then crushes the olives again and presses them with a beam again. This is the third oil. The first oil, kosher for the menorah. The other oils are kosher for the menachas. They asked, in the Mishnah's explanation of the first harvest, does it mean that he picks the olives at the top before all have been given a chance to ripen, and he then only picks the ripe ones? Or does it mean that he waits until they're all ripe and then he goes and picks them all? And for the Gemara, Bryce says if a person promises to bring olive oil to the Beis HaMikdash, it must be done from the oil that flows out on its own before it's pressed. From here, they said that during the first olive harvest, one lets the olives ripen on top of the tree. This answers the question. Although the Gemara continues to quote the rest of the Bryce, we already see that he lets them all ripen on top of the tree. He brings them into the olive press where he crushes them with millstones and puts them in baskets. The oil that flows from them is the first oil. He then presses them with the beam. The oil that flows from them is the second oil. He then grinds them and presses them again. The oil that flows from at that point is the third oil. First oil is kosher for menorah. Second and third oil is kosher for menachas. Second olive harvest is done in the same way. The third olive harvest is done a bit differently. He packs the olives into the vat until they become spoiled. He then takes them to be dried on the roof. He then makes them into a pile the shape of a date until the liquid flows. He then crushes them and puts them into a basket where the oil oozes from and gets filtered through the basket into a keli. The oil comes out at this stage is the first oil. He then presses them with a beam, which is now the second oil. He then crushes the olives again and presses them with a beam. That's the third oil. First oil, kosher for menorah. The other oil are kosher menachas. Rabbi Yehuda says, Zakta Raisa, that he would not crush with millstones, rather he would crush with a mortar, he would not press with a beam, rather with stones, and he would not put them into baskets, but rather around the baskets. In fact, our Mishnah says that the olives are crushed, which suggests that it's done in a mortar, which is the view of Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah then says that the olives are placed into the basket, which is the view of the Rabbanan. And for the time of the Mishnah holds like Rabbi Yehuda in one way, and like the Rabbanan in another way. Zakt the next Mishnah. There is no oil better than the first oil of the first harvest. The second oil of the first harvest and the first oil of the second harvest are equal quality. The third oil of the first harvest and the second oil of the second harvest and the first oil of the third harvest are all of equal quality. The third oil of the second harvest and the second oil of the third harvest, equal quality. There's nothing lower quality than the third oil of the third harvest. Mishnah says, based on a Kal Vachomer, we would say that all menachas should require the first oil of the harvest, Shemen Zayah Zach, because if the oil of menorah, which is not even eaten, requires superior oil, then the oil for the mincha, which is eaten, should certainly require it to be of this quality. The Pasuk therefore says, Zach Kosis Lamor, which teaches that only the menorah requires this superior quality oil, but the menachas do not. Frech the Gemara, how can we say that the second oil of the first harvest and the first oil of the second harvest are of equal quality when the first oil of the second harvest could be used for menorah? Second oil of the first harvest cannot. And for the Gemara of Nachma Yitzchak said, this means that they are of equal quality with regard to menachas, meaning one should bring the best oil that he could for the mincha. So if he has these two types of oil, they consider it to be of equal quality and he can bring whichever one he wants. Mishnah said, Af kol ha-menachas hayu badin v'chulu. Abraisa says, the Pasuk says, but the oil for the menorah must be zach, which means it must be clear. Yehuda says the pasuk says it must be kosis, which means that the olives must be crushed in the mortar. We would think that such oil would be possible for a mincha. The pasuk therefore says v'isarin soilas bolul b'shem in kosis. If so, why is the pasuk regarding the menorah say that such oil is for the menorah? The Torah is looking to lessen the financial burden on the Yidden and allows them to use lower quality oil for their menachas. The pasuk says savas bnei yisrael v'yichu elecha shemen zayis zach. Shmuel bar Nachmani says Hashem says elecha, the lighting of the menorah is for you. I don't need light. It's for you, for a ruchniyistic purpose. The Gemara continues, the Shulchan was on the north side of the Beis HaMikdash. The menorah was on the south side. It was weak in the name of Allah that said, from the fact that they were placed far apart from each other, we can learn, it's as if Hashem is saying, I don't need the food or the light. A Brisa says a similar concept regarding the windows of the Beis HaMikdash, which were narrow on the inside and wide on the outside, to show that Hashem doesn't need the light. Gemara continues. The pasuk says the menorah should be set up outside the paroiches ho'edus to serve as testimony to all that the Shekhinah dwells with the Yidden. Now it can't be thought that Hashem needs a light because all the years of the traveling in the Midbar, Hashem provided the light for the Yidden. Therefore, it's there for edus. How does the menorah p'taka provide testimony? So, Rava said this refers to the western lamp, which got as much oil as all the other lamps, and yet it burned much longer than the rest. Zok, the next Mishnah. From where did they bring wine for Nesachim? The wines of Kiduchim and Atulim are the most superior wines. The wines of Beis Rima and Beis Lavan in the mountains and of Kfar Signa in the valley are second to them. The wine of all lands are kosher, but these lands had superior wine. Mishnah continues, we don't bring wine from grapes grown in lands that were fertilized or from irrigated fields or from grapes that grew on vines that were seeded between them. If he did bring wine from these places, it's kosher. We also don't bring Eliustan wine, but if it is brought, it's kosher. Rebbe says, we may not bring old wine, the Chum say it's kosher. We may not bring sweet wine, smoked wine, or cooked wine, and if one brought them, it's possible. We may not bring wine from grapes grown on vines that were hung on trellises, but rather it should come from vines that grew along the ground and that were grown in cultivated vineyards. We may not put the wine in large kalim, but rather we put them in small barrels. We may not fill the barrel to the top, so could we leave a little room so that will be fragrant when open? We may not use the wine at the mouth of the barrel because of the spoilage that occurs over there, and not from the bottom of the barrel because of the sediment that's over there. Rather, the wine should be taken from the middle third of the middle third of the barrel. How do we check the wine for quality? The gizbar sits with a reed in his hand. When the white particles from the sediment start to come out, he hits the person who's letting the wine out, he hits him with the reed to signal him to stop the flow of wine. Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, said wine that has spoilage is possible based on the pasuk of temimim yiu lochem u'minchasom, which teaches that a mincha with spoilage, like worms, is possible. And temimim yiu lochem v'niskeyem, which teaches that wine with spoilage is possible for nesachim as well.